Unit 2, the Northeast. The region of the United States known as the Northeast stretches from Maine to Maryland. It is the smallest region of the United States in size, yet in many places the Northeast is crowded with people. The Northeast has great cities. It also has tiny villages, tree-covered hills, rocky shores, and sandy beaches. It is rich in history, too. Of the country's first 13 states, 9 are in the Northeast. Unit themes: commonality and diversity, conflict and cooperation, continuity and change, interaction within different environments. Unit project: write and perform a class play. Complete this project as you study Unit 2. Work with a group of classmates to help write and perform a play about the settlement and growth of the Northeast. As you read this unit, choose at least 3 people or events you think should be included in the play and take notes about each. Your group can use these notes to write its scene for the class play. Unit 2 Preview, the Northeast. Set the scene with literature. A River Ran Wild, written and illustrated by Lynn Cherry. American Indians were the first people to live on the land that is today the Northeast region of the United States. One group, the Nashuas, lived along the river in what are now the states of New Hampshire and Massachusetts. There they used the natural resources around them to meet their needs. Read now about the Nashuas and the river named for them. Long ago, a river ran wild through a land of towering forests. Bears, moose, and herds of deer, hawks, and owls all made their homes in the peaceful river valley. Geese paused on their long migration and rested on its banks. Beavers, turtles, and schools of fish swam in its clear waters. One day, a group of native people, searching for a place to settle, came upon the river valley. From atop the highest mountain, known today as Mount Wachusett, they saw the river nestled in its valley, a silver sliver in the sun. They came down from the mountain, and at the river's edge they knelt to quench their thirst with its clear water. Pebbles shone up from the bottom. "Let us settle by this river," said the chief of the native people. He named the river Nashoe, River with the Pebbled Bottom. By the Nashoe, Chief Weowaw's people built a village. They gathered cattails from the riverbanks to thatch their dwellings. In the forest, they set fires to clear brush from the forest floor. In these clearings, they planted corn and squash for eating. They made arrows for hunting and canoes for river travel. When the Indians hunted in the forest or caught salmon in the river, they killed only what they needed for themselves, for food and clothing. They asked all the forest creatures that they killed to please forgive them. The Nashua people saw a rhythm in their lives and in the seasons. The river land and forest provided all they needed. The Nashua had lived for generations by the clear, clean, flowing river when one day a pale-skinned trader came with a boatload full of treasures. He brought shiny metal knives, colored beads, and cooking kettles, mirrors, tools, and bolts of bright cloth. His wares seemed like magic. The Nashua welcomed him, traded furs, and soon a trading post was built. In the many years that followed, the settler's village and others like it grew, and the Nashua became the Nashua. The settlers worked together to clear land by cutting down the forests, which they thought were full of danger, wilderness that they would conquer. They hunted wolves and beaver, killing much more than they needed. Extra pelts were sent to England in return for goods and money. The settlers built sawmills along the river, which the Nashua's current powered. They built dams to make the mill ponds that were used to store the water. they cut down the towering forest and floated tree trunks down the river. The logs were cut up into lumber, which was used for building houses. Chapter 4, Along the Northeast Coast. City, oh, city of glory and grace, of breathtaking towers that soar into space, of bottomless canyons, steel, rivet, and stone. City, oh, city, how mighty you've grown. From the poem, City, Oh, City, by Jack Prelutsky. Lesson 1, Focus. How can the physical features of a place affect its growth? Main idea. Read to find out how places along the Northeast region's coast have grown and changed over time. Vocabulary. Cape. Harbor. Colony. Colonist. Port. Raw material. Import. Export. International trade. Newcomers bring changes. American Indians found many uses for the natural resources of the Northeast. Those same resources later attracted settlers from Europe. The Europeans began to build settlements. Over time, many of those settlements grew into large cities. Exploring the coast. In 1614, an English explorer named John Smith sailed along the northeast coast of what is now the United States. Smith saw tall, thick forests and many bays and capes. A cape is a point of land that reaches out into the ocean. Smith named the land New England. Today, New England is made up of the states of Connecticut, Maine, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and Vermont. John Smith told others about the land he had seen. 6 years later, a small boat sailed along the same coast. In the boat were about a dozen people. They were looking for a good place to build a new settlement. One of the people in the boat, probably a man named Edward Winslow, wrote about the adventure. The seas were grown so great that we were much troubled and in great danger. Yet by God's mercy, recovering ourselves, we had the flood with us and struck into the harbor. A harbor is a place where ships can dock safely. Review. What physical features are found along the New England coast? At home in a new land. The harbor that the boat entered was Plymouth Bay in present-day Massachusetts. After exploring the land nearby, Winslow and the others returned to the larger ship that had carried them across the Atlantic Ocean from England. They quickly gave the good news to the people waiting on board the Mayflower. Plymouth Bay was deep enough for ships. Better still, there was fresh water, land for farming, and trees for building homes. The people who came on the Mayflower are now called pilgrims because they made a long journey for religious reasons. In England, the pilgrims were not allowed to follow their own religion. Over time, they decided to start their own colony in North America. A colony is a settlement started by people who leave their own country to live in another land. Life in the new colony was hard for the pilgrims. They had little food. During the first winter, more than half of them died. The rest of the pilgrims might not have lived through the next year if the Indians had not helped them. Before the pilgrims came to Plymouth Bay, an Indian named Tisquantum had been taken as a slave to Spain. He later ran away and spent several years in England before returning home. While in England, Tisquantum, or Squanto as the English called him, learned English. Because Squanto had learned English, he was able to teach the pilgrims how to live in their new land. He showed them how to plant corn, catch fish, and hunt wild animals. Review. What resources did the pilgrims look for when they chose a place for their colony? Geography. Boston, Massachusetts. Boston is New England's largest city and its leading center of trade. Boston is located on Massachusetts Bay at the mouths of the Charles and Mystic Rivers. Centers of trade. Soon, more people from Europe went to New England and started colonies. Like the pilgrims, they used the region's many resources. They fished in the bays and the ocean. They trapped animals for fur. They cut down trees to build homes and ships. They built sawmills along the rivers. As more people began to live along the New England coast, settlements grew into cities. Many cities, like Boston, became important centers of trade. Goods from all across New England were taken to Boston and traded on its docks. From Boston, ships could take goods almost anywhere. Ships were important to colonists, the people living in colonies. After all, ships were their only link to the rest of the world. Ships brought them tools, clothing, and other manufactured goods from Europe. Those goods were then sold or traded for fish, furs, lumber, and other products from New England. Large and busy port cities grew up all along the Northeast region's coast. A port is a trading center where ships are loaded and unloaded. Many ports, like New York City and Baltimore, Maryland, were built on harbors where rivers flow into the Atlantic Ocean. New York City was built at the mouth of the Hudson River. Baltimore was built where the Patapsco River empties into Chesapeake Bay. Other ports in the Northeast were built on rivers. Philadelphia, for example, was built on the Delaware River. The Delaware River flows into Delaware Bay. Review: why did many cities in the Northeast become centers of trade? Trading needed goods. Do you know what a lolo is? A lolo is a ship built to carry hundreds of truck-sized metal boxes called containers. Each container is filled with products. After a lolo docks at a port, cranes lift each container from the ship and load them onto trucks or trains, or stack them on the ground. When the ship is empty, it is loaded with other containers. This action explains the ship's name: lift on, lift off, or lolo for short. The lolo moves goods in and out of ports. Many of the ships that sail in and out of ports in the Northeast are taking goods from one part of the United States to another. Some ships carry food. Others carry products made in factories. Still others haul raw materials. A raw material is a resource in its natural state, such as a mineral, that can be used to manufacture a product. Ports also link the Northeast and other places in the United States with other countries. Each day, imports from all over the world arrive in the ports of the United States. An import is a good brought into one country from another country, most often to be sold. The United States also uses its ports to send exports to other countries. An export is a good shipped from one country to another. Many businesses in the United States make money by selling exports to people in other countries. Thanks to international trade, or trading among nations, people can buy goods their own countries do not make or grow. Most of those goods are carried from country to country by ship. Ships can carry more goods and are cheaper to use than airplanes. Review: how do ports link the United States with other countries? Lesson 1 Review. Check understanding. 1. Remember the facts. Why were ships important to colonists? 2. Recall the main idea. How have places along the Northeast region's coast changed over time? Think critically. 3. Link to you. What physical features have helped your region grow? 4. Think more about it. How might life in the United States be different without ports? Show what you know. Poster activity. Make a poster that shows how the Northeast region's coast has changed. Divide a large sheet of paper in half. On one side, draw a scene that shows how the coast might have looked when John Smith sailed there. On the other half, show how the coast might look today. Chart and graph skills. Read a cutaway diagram. 1. Why learn this skill? Most people like to know how things work. To do that, sometimes they need to know what things look like on the inside. However, it is not always possible to take an object apart to see inside it. You would not want to take apart your television to see how it works. Sometimes you may just wonder what something is like inside. Do you wonder about submarines or space shuttles? What other things have made you wonder, what is it like inside? 2. Cutaway diagrams. There is a kind of drawing that can help you answer this question. It is called a cutaway diagram. A cutaway diagram shows the outside and inside of an object at the same time. the artist cuts away part of the drawing to make a kind of window. Looking through that window, you can see inside the object. Cutaway diagrams can let you see inside a television set, a building, or a large cargo ship. Ships from all over the world load and unload cargo in port cities in the Northeast. Many of those ships are dry bulk cargo ships. These ships carry dry cargo, such as grain, sugar, or coal, in bulk. Bulk means that the cargo is carried loose in a big pile instead of in containers. 3. Understand the process. The cutaway diagram on page 145 shows some of the ways a dry bulk cargo ship can be loaded and unloaded. 1. Find the cutaway window that shows the inside of the ship. What part of the ship is shown? Name one part of the ship that is shown on the rest of the diagram. 2. You can see that the hold, or cargo area, of a dry bulk cargo ship is divided into several parts. Each part of the hold is covered by a hatch. Why do you think the hold on this ship has more than one part? 3. Find the part of the hold labeled A. Here, cargo is being loaded using a large chute. The cargo slides down the chute and into the ship's hold. What kind of cargo is being loaded? 4. Now, find the part of the hold labeled B. If the cargo is not too heavy, machines may pull it out through a large vacuum tube. The machines are like giant vacuum cleaners. What cargo is being unloaded from the ship this way? 5. Now, find the part of the hold labeled C. Sometimes the cargo is too heavy to be unloaded using vacuum tubes, so dock workers use power scoops or large grab buckets. The scoop or bucket reaches down into the hold, grabs some of the loose cargo, and lifts it out. Then the scoop or bucket drops the cargo into a truck or railroad car. What cargo is being unloaded from the ship by this method? 4. Think and apply. Look in an encyclopedia, in library books, or on the internet to find out how some object works, perhaps a flashlight or a camera. Then draw a cutaway diagram of that object. Add labels to your diagram and use it to explain to classmates how the object works. Lesson 2. Focus. In what ways are all cities alike? Main idea. Read to find out how cities in the Northeast are like cities in other parts of the United States. Vocabulary. Population. Urban growth. Prejudice. Central business district. Urban sprawl. Metropolitan area. Megalopolis. A region of cities. Early cities in the Northeast were often built on harbors or along the rivers that flowed into harbors. Today, much of the Northeast is crowded with cities. Each one is different, but they all share some features with cities everywhere. Industries and growth. Over time, cities in the Northeast grew larger both in size and in population. Population is the number of people who live in a place. The population of New York City grew from just 60,000 people in 1800 to more than 3 million people in 1900. The development of new industries was the chief reason for this urban growth, or the growth of cities. Old industries, such as fishing, shipbuilding, and trade, were joined by new ones. The new industries included factories, printing plants, and machine shops. Many of the new industries started in coastal cities to be near ports. Many people moved to cities to find jobs. Some of the people came from rural areas of the United States. Others were immigrants. They came mostly from places in Europe. Review. Why did many people move to coastal cities in the Northeast? History. Ellis Island. Between 1892 and 1954, more than 12 million immigrants from at least 50 countries entered the United States through Ellis Island. Today, Ellis Island is part of the Statue of Liberty National Monument. Immigrants crowd into cities. Before airplanes, most immigrants came to the United States just as the Pilgrims had, on ships. Many entered the United States through Ellis Island. Ellis Island was an immigration center in New York Harbor. As they sailed into the harbor, immigrants were greeted by the Statue of Liberty. At the base of the statue is a poem, The New Colossus, written by Emma Lazarus. It describes how the Statue of Liberty welcomes immigrants to America. The poem ends, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." Because so many immigrants settled in cities in the Northeast, the cities there grew larger and more crowded. In one neighborhood of New York City called the Lower East Side, hundreds of thousands of people lived close together. They often had little money, so many immigrants had to live in run-down apartment buildings called tenements. One newspaper reporter found that two small rooms in a six-story tenement were made to hold a family of father, mother, 12 children, and 6 boarders. A boarder is someone who pays to live in another person's home. Like other groups of immigrants, many Jews had come to the United States to find work. Other Jews had come to try to escape the prejudice they faced in Europe because of their religion. Prejudice is an unfair feeling of hatred or dislike for a group because of their background, race, or religion. In the United States, Jews could freely follow their religion. Pauline Newman was one of the many Jewish immigrants living on the Lower East Side. Most immigrants had to work long hours for little pay. Pauline had a job in a clothing factory. She wrote, "We started work at 7:30 in the morning, and during the busy season we worked until 9 in the evening. The employers had a sign that said, 'If you don't come in on Sunday, don't come in on Monday.' You were expected to work every day if they needed you, and the pay was the same whether you worked extra or not." Review. How did immigrants change the cities in the Northeast? Living in cities. Like New York, most cities across the United States have grown larger and more crowded over time. Cities have grown so much that today, more than 3/4 of all Americans live in or near them. In the Northeast, about 9 out of every 10 people live in or near cities. Why do so many people choose to live in or near cities? Most people live there because of their jobs. In cities, workers can get many kinds of jobs, both in manufacturing and in services. In the Northeast, New York City is a leading center for banking. More than 50 insurance companies are based in Hartford, Connecticut. There are 30 colleges and universities in and around Boston. Cities are exciting places. They also offer many services to the people who live in or near them. For example, large hospitals can give special care when people are hurt or sick. Because most cities have many ethnic groups, people can enjoy different kinds of foods, dance, and music. They can visit the city's theaters and go to see sports teams play. Review. What do cities offer the people who live in or near them? Cities change. Cities in the Northeast, like cities everywhere, have grown in much the same way. The Central Business District, or downtown area, is in the center of a city. The Central Business District is often the oldest part of a city. It covers a small area but is very crowded. Buildings there are often close together. In the past, the Central Business District was where almost everything in a city happened. Cars, trucks, and highways have changed that, however. Today, many businesses are found in the outer parts of cities or in nearby suburbs. Shopping malls, movie theaters, and restaurants are found there, too. Over time, more and more land around cities has been used for new buildings and highways. This spreading of urban areas and the growth of new centers of business and shopping is called urban sprawl. Review. How are cities today different from cities of the past? Cities connect. Nearly every large city has smaller cities and suburbs around it. These places around a large city are part of its metropolitan area. A metropolitan area is a large city together with its suburbs. A metropolitan area often stretches over state borders. New York City is in the state of New York, but it is close to Connecticut and New Jersey. People often call the area around New York City the tri-state region. Tri means three. Many people who live in suburbs in New Jersey and Connecticut work in New York City. But people who live in New York City also depend on neighboring states. One airport that serves New York City is in Newark, New Jersey. New York City is at the center of the area that has the most people in the United States. Years ago, there was empty land between New York City and other cities along the coast. Today, those cities almost run into one another. In fact, it is sometimes hard to tell where one city ends and the next one begins. The rural areas near the cities are building up, too. A long, wide string of cities already stretches more than 500 miles, 800 kilometers, from southern Maine to northern Virginia. Some of those cities are Boston, New York City, Philadelphia, Baltimore, and Washington, D.C. Together, they make up the largest megalopolis in the United States. A megalopolis is a huge urban region formed when two or more metropolitan areas grow together. The word megalopolis means great city. Today, transportation lets people move quickly and easily from place to place in the Northeast. Highways connect all the cities. Trains travel between Boston and Washington, D.C. Airlines also offer many short flights each day between major cities. Review. What is a megalopolis? Lesson 2 review. Check understanding. 1. Remember the facts. How has urban sprawl changed cities? 2. Recall the main idea. How are cities in the Northeast like cities in other parts of the United States? Think critically. 3. Cause and effect. How might urban sprawl affect the wildlife in an area? 4. Link to you. Think about your city or one close to you. Are its businesses all in the central business district, or are there businesses in suburbs and in other areas as well? Show what you know. Map activity. On a sheet of paper, draw or trace a map of the Northeast region's coast. Mark and label all the cities named in this lesson. Label large bodies of water, too. Then, use your map to explain to classmates why the Northeast is sometimes called a region of cities.